From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the very first day of May 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Harry Cooney from GrowMark in Bloomington will be along to look at the agricultural energies, and we'll discuss the latest crop progress report with the state statisticians in Illinois, Indiana, and Nebraska. And along the way, we'll take a look at the weather forecast. Two Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will be here, and it all happens on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished lower on the nearby May wheat, down 14 cents for the day at 633 and three quarters. The July at 643, 11 and a half lower, and September at 657 and three quarters, down 8 3/4 of a cent. July the July hard red at 657, down 5 cents for the day. From the corn pit now, 659 and three quarters, a half lower in Chicago. July at 629, down 5 1/4. September corn, $5.50 and a quarter, 10 and a half lower in December. 538 and three quarters, down 4 1/2 cents. March futures, 550, finished 4 3/4 lower. The May corn, $5.58 and a quarter, down 4 3/4 for the 2013 contract. July there at 565 and three quarters, 4 1/2 lower. Again, 2013. And December futures of 2013 at $5.42 and a quarter, down 1 1/4 cents. May bean futures at 1497 and three quarters, down 5 1/4 cents on the day. The nearby contract for the July at 1503 and a half, down 2, and the August at 1486 and three quarters, up 3 cents. September futures 1432 and a half, 8 cents higher. November beans 11 1/2 higher at $13.92 and a half, and January contract at $13.86, up 11 3/4. The May futures of next year at $13.44 from the bean pit, up 7 3/4. Bean meal at $4.32.50, down $1.80. Bean oil at $54.52, down 14 cents on the day. Live cattle futures finished the August at $116.30, up a dime. The October 50 cents higher at $121.65 for the lives, and the feeders August $154.20, up 47 1/2. September at $155.52 and a half, 65 cents higher on the day. June lean hogs on this afternoon at $85.85, down 7 1/2 cents, but the July futures finished $86.75 a hundredweight at 50 cents higher. And that's a look at the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $106.15 a barrel, up $1.28. Ethanol at $2.21 and a tenth of a cent, a penny and 7 cents lower. Natural gas at $2.36 and 9 cents, up 8 1/2 cents, rather up 8.4 cents for the day. And the heating oil on the afternoon at $3.17 and 9 cents, 4 1/10 cents lower. Gold futures finished at $1,661.70 an ounce, down $1.70. The dollar at 78.86, that's up 0.08 on the afternoon. And the Commodity Research Index up 2 points at 307.95 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service in the Urbana-Champaign area, they're calling for a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy this afternoon, a high of 72 degrees with a south-southeast wind. At about 15 miles an hour tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy, a low of 64 degrees, a south-southwest wind, 11 to 15 miles an hour. On Sunday, or rather on Wednesday, mostly sunny. A high of 85, it'll be breezy with a southwest wind at 13 to 20 miles an hour, gusting to 28. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy and a low of 66. Thursday, sunny skies and 86. Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms and 67. On Friday, a 40% chance of rainfall and 84 degrees and partly sunny in the afternoon. Friday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy and 66 degrees. Saturday, showers and thunderstorms, sunny and a high of 85 degrees. Saturday night, showers and thunderstorms in 61. And on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and 79 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
On this Tuesday afternoon, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. On the phone line with us is Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Let's make our way through the marketplace today. Lots of good things to talk about over this time frame because we have in May the next World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates coming out, and they will include the first look, really, that USDA has of what they think the new crop may yield in the coming fall.
That's right. And, of course, we're having all sorts of ideas of whether the early seeding is going to put us above trend line yields and what number the government's going to use, you know, and other people questioning if we plant as many acres of corn as we do, can we really realistically say we'll be trend line yields because it might be lower quality ground? But a big question to be answered in that report.
What did you find out today in the marketplace?
What did we find out today in the marketplace? Well, we started out a little bit negative with all of the good planting progress, 53%, basically 5 to 10% more than a lot of traders were looking for. So that did give us the feeling that the government is going to stay with a high yield on that. And then we started the day or ended the evening lower and started the morning a little lower this morning. We saw some spread unwinding in the July note beans. We saw wheat come under a little pressure when some of the comments from the wheat tour leaked back out saying that it was a little better quality than what they were expecting. And, you know, continued to see a little pressure on the corn, but bounced back a little bit as we dipped down to some support levels.
When you talk to producers at this point, are they satisfied with the sales that they've made so far?
You know, very few corn sales have been made by most of these farmers for new crop. You know, and we everybody is with that still has 10,000 to 15,000 corn in their bin. They're really wanting to see $7 before they turn loose of it on the cash on the old crop corn, as tight as cash corn is in our area, and with the ethanol plants bidding like they are. But the beans, I think everybody is satisfied. I think the next sales levels are going to be basically the $14 mark as far as the new crop beans go. I think we'll see some corn sales in the 550 to 555 bracket the next batch by our farmers in our area.
You know, do you think we'll see $7 again for old crop?
You know, that's going to be sort of hard to say. A couple of our ethanol plants over in Aria were under the May until this morning. And had they left their basis the same and stayed under the May, they would have probably got close to it today. But they actually tightened on in, and it looks like they're more in the 675 to 680 bracket here.
What are your suggestions for producers as they look out at a crop that's in the ground early, in good condition now, especially with the rainfall that is coming about and warmer temperatures expected over the next several days? Should they be making some new crop corn sales?
You know, we're going to sit, be patient, and wait for at least probably that 549 to 555 level before we push any more sales. You know, we've made some above $6, and we're happy with those. But we would like to get a few more on here, like I say, with that range. But I think we've got the chance of getting back up there. We've definitely got a weather scare or two before this crop's made.
On the subject of weather scares, there were a flurry of reports last week out of South America that were lowering the projection for total production of soybean. Will we see more of those, or have we got it all into the pipeline now?
Well, you know, we keep hearing that they're farther and farther along on their harvest down there. I don't know how the crop shrinks once you've run the combine through the field. But so, you know, I mean, I think that they tell us that by running the combine through the percentage acres they have, that they are seeing that it isn't quite as good as they were hoping for. So I think we're pretty much at the bottom of the estimates for right now to South America. You know, one of the things that was a little bit negative was Chinese government inspection agency gave the go-ahead to for corn imports from Argentina and Laos over the weekend, and that's another thing that's a little bit negative. There's also talk that they might kick some old crop soybeans out of their reserves back in, and they might be looking more just towards the new crop beans now for a few months if they do decide to do that. And that was a little added a little pressure to unwinding the long old crop, short new crop beans.
Wayne, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, don't forget, you can always hear what Wayne had to say again if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org, or dial this number, 217-333-3434. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the latest crop progress report. As of the 29th day of April, half of the corn in the nation had been planted, actually 53%. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 27%, and last year at this time, just 12% of the crop for corn had been put into the ground. 15% of that crop, by the way, has emerged compared to the rolling five-year average of 6%. 12% of the soybeans are now planted compared to the five-year average of 5%. And last year's date of 2%. Turning your attention to the winter wheat acreage now, 54% of it is reported to be headed. That compares to 24% on the rolling five-year average and 29% at the same time last year. 50% of the wheat crop is in good condition, 14% in excellent condition. That compares with 48% and 15% last week, respectively, and last year at just 28% good and 6% excellent. Now here are updates from the statisticians in Indiana, Nebraska, and Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, April 29th. Statewide temperatures averaged 2.2 degrees below normal at 54.1 degrees, and rainfall accumulations came in at 46 one-hundredths of an inch, which was 40 one-hundredths below normal for the seven-day period ending April 29th. Corn planting advanced by another 20 percentage points to a record 79% complete. This compares to 10% planted last year and 29% for the five-year average. Corn emergence now stands at 34%, and this compares to 2% last year and 6% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in corn progress was the West Southwestern District, where 75% of the seed has sprouted and emerged. Soybean planting advanced to 13% complete, compared to 2% for the five-year average. The crop reporting district leading the state in soybean planting progress was the Southwestern District, where 28% had been planted by week's end. Heading of the soft red winter wheat crop now stands at 80%, well ahead of the 6% reported a year ago and for the five-year averages. 24% of the wheat heads were reported filled, which is considered well advanced for this date. Condition of the winter wheat crop was rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 16% fair, 60% good, and 20% excellent. Red clover, pastures, and alfalfa were all rated in mostly good condition, and the first cutting of alfalfa was just getting underway at 18% complete, compared to 1% last year and 2% for the five-year average. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office in Indiana, and this is the Crop World Report for the week ending April 29th. Farmers raced ahead as they neared the final lap for corn and soybean planting, continuing the record pace. The previous record planting pace was in 2010, with approximately 65% of the corn in the ground and 17% of the soybeans at this time. Frost continues to be a concern, especially in northern Indiana. Some localized reports of frost damage to winter wheat fields were received. Precipitation averaged 0.16 to 1.52 inches. And temperatures range from a high of 82 to a low of 27 degrees. For the week ending Friday, 5.3 days were rated as suitable for field work. Indiana corn planting was 70% complete, compared to 2% complete at this time last year and 20% for the five-year average. By regions of the state, 66% of the intended corn acreage is planted in northern Indiana, with 73% planted in the southern region and 71% planted in southern Indiana. 24% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 0% for last year and 4% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans was 28% complete, compared to 0% for last year and 4% for the five-year average. By regions of the state, 27% of the intended soybean acreage is planted in northern Indiana, with 30% planted in the central region and 25% planted in southern Indiana. 88% of the winter wheat acreage is in the jointed stage, compared with 51% last year and 57% for the five-year average. 34% of the winter wheat is headed, compared to 1% for last year and 0% for the five-year average. Winter wheat condition for the week was rated at 75% good to excellent, compared to 57% last year at this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana Agricultural Statistics Office in Indiana.
This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending April 29, 2012. Good planting progress was made until late in the week when widespread precipitation stopped field work. While precipitation slowed field activities, the moisture was welcomed. Corn planted jumped to 44% complete with 4.6 days suitable for field work. Soybean planting was underway with 6% complete while the first fields of sorghum had been planted. Wheat joined at 67%, continued 2 weeks ahead of average with heads now starting to show. Wheat conditions rated 3% poor, 27 fair, 59 good, and 11 excellent, above last year's 46% good to excellent and 62 average. Planting of oats was winding down while the first cutting of alfalfa continued well ahead of average. Accumulated growing degree days are ahead of normal. This is David Biar of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. Up next now, University of Illinois studies funded by the state's Soybean Association, the Illinois Soybean Association, are showing a change in planting date is just fine for the oilseed crop. I'll have more in a moment.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
A few years ago, the Illinois Soybean Association funded planting date, row spacing, and population research at the University of Illinois. 2 years of field trials have shown something different to U of I Extension agronomist Emerson Nafziger than had been believed before.
I want to be quick to say that we haven't turned some kind of corner, and now soybeans need to be planted earlier than they did 5 years ago or 10 years ago. But I think we saw with really pretty good yield conditions the last couple of years that the earlier we planted soybeans, the better the yields were. And our planting date studies started around the middle of April and went into early June. So we have covered that, the normal planting period, pretty well.
Prior to the last 2 years, Nafziger, backed up by research, would have suggested planting soybeans by the middle of May to be optimum.
So our data from these last 2 years, we have 7 site years of data that really lined up remarkably well. And now we have to make sure we point this out. There's not a big yield loss from, say, April 20 to May the 5th or May the 1st or May the 10th. So we're not looking at bushels of yield loss, but a little bit. The surprising thing was that yields in mid-April were just a little higher than they were in early May. And then the acceleration of yield loss continues through May.
Through May, but at a slower pace than the downward curve of previous studies. So, not only can soybean be planted earlier, it can be planted later, too. The early May planting date losses are about 0.2 of a bushel per day. By late May, a 0.5 bushel per acre per day.
Actually, the late planting penalty from this most recent data isn't quite as great as we had seen before either. In other words, that line sinks relatively slowly, but by the 10th of June or so, we're, according to these data, we've dropped about 18 or 19 bushels from, say, the mid-April planting.
And that is something to avoid, if at all possible. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hey, this summer, if you're looking for something to go do that will be good for your farm, for your operation, how about signing up for the Top Farmer Crop Workshop at Purdue? It's July 9, 10, and 11, and a joint production this year of the Ag Economist at the University of Illinois and Purdue University University's Extension Professionals. The Top Farmer Crop Workshop, July 9, 10, and 11. Search for Purdue and their commercial Ag Center for more information. Tuesday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural energy markets. On the phone line is Harry Cooney of GrowMark in Bloomington, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
What should we go through for the afternoon? You want to start with crude oil, the high price of gas?
Sure.
Or what was the high price of gas? So tell me
what
where we're
going. What was the high price? Yeah, you know, in fact, there for quite a while, for a number of months throughout the winter and early spring, all we heard were stories about $5 gas talk. And what's interesting is that even though downstate Illinois, Indiana here, we have not reached $5 at the pumps, the bulls can kind of say that they've already won out, because parts of California did have $5, and there was already rumblings of some $5 pumps at the peaks there up in the Chicagoland area, even though I can't confirm those. But it's always interesting when somebody talks about a real high number like the $5. I mean, you kind of have to say $5 where. And so that's why the bulls will be able to say, yep, we hit it. It did hit $5 in certain areas, but the vast majority of downstate Illinois, downstate Indiana, away from the metropolitan areas, I don't think came anywhere near to $5, and we got up to, like, I think around $4.20 or so, but we didn't come anywhere close. But it's interesting, during that period of time when all the hype was about $5 gas talk, we saw a lot of end users scrambling to buy not just gasoline, but diesel fuel also. They were just trying to get their hands on whatever they could during the month of February in there. Now, a lot of that buying has just dried up. The end users purchased what they wanted, and now the end user contracting is just next to nothing, really.
And so they've gotten that purchased, and in the process, during that same time frame, we were also exporting all types of energy from the United States?
Oh, that's right. We have continued to. I mean, when you have the U.S. dollar as weak as it is and as weak as it's been here throughout a lot of last year, and even this year, the dollar's come up a little bit here in the last month or two of 2011, and starting this year, it's still overall somewhat weak. So when you have a weak dollar, you tend to export a lot of commodities, and what we've seen the past 6 to 8 months is a lot of exporting of not just diesel fuel, but gasoline. We've exported gasoline and propane. We're exporting quite a bit of propane also. In fact, some of our sources say that our propane price in the U.S. is some of the cheapest around the world. So there's several reasons why they're exporting. It's not just because of the dollar, but if you're the cheapest price, that product is going to find a home at those higher-priced export places.
When you talk about a weak dollar, by comparison, what do you compare it to? So we're at 78.82. We've been down as low, I think, in the 73 neighborhood. What do you consider a weak, and what is it compared to tell us that it's weak?
Well, when you look at when you're talking about those numbers in the 70s, those are the dollar index. And if you take into account, if I go all the way back to like 19, probably to the late 80s even, the range in that index has been about 122 on the top, down around 71 on the bottom. So you can easily see that whether you compare it to the yen or the euro or whatever you compare it, the dollar index is way in the lower end of its recent trading range for the past 20 or 30 years. So the index is just a good way to be able to measure the dollar and where it's at in comparison to historical trading numbers, really.
When you take a look at the large picture at this point, and you do this pretty often, what do you tell producers about booking their needs for the future? And I don't know whether you're looking at the harvest for needs yet in the way of energy at this point.
Well, right now, there's still no great bargains. I've said that for several months to end users. There's still no great bargains out there. I think they just hold with what they have. Look for opportunities that may come along in summer for fall. But right now, we're kind of keeping our hands in our pockets. Talk to your local FS suppliers, though, about what programs they may have for fall grain drying, if we're going to need any. It doesn't look like we're going to need much grain drying propane demand because we're getting it planted in good time. But they can talk to their FS supply members and see what programs they have available out there. Our next big contracting program recommendation period, though, will come in that Thanksgiving to Valentine's Day period, as it normally does.
So then take one other look for me. Have you been watching Europe very closely at this point? And Spain seems to have slipped again. And does that have much of an impact on the way you think about global stocks of oils?
Well, it definitely, the European mess obviously has an impact on world stock markets, and which in turn can affect the oil prices in a big way. I mean, it seems like when the stock markets tend to go down, oil prices tend to slip, and so Spain is just a part of that European weakness, and it seems like it was Greece, and then it was Portugal, and just several countries around there, and so this is just another one of those countries.
Thank you so much, Harry.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with Growmark. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, with us to take a look at what's been a rainy forecast the last couple of days. And I suppose, Don, may be a rainy forecast for several more. What do you see?
Well, it certainly is looking that way. We're going to be looking at more of these May showers going across many areas of the Corn Belt and Midwest, really, from not only the short term, but the long term. There's just plenty of opportunities that we're going to see rainfall over many areas. The northern, the western Corn Belt, the central, the southern areas. There's maybe a part of the southern plains that look a little bit drier. The Mississippi the Delta areas might be a little bit dry. Florida might be a little dry. But as you go through the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Nebraska, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Missouri, the prospects for precipitation are good for the next week to 10 days. So some good spring moisture is on the way.
These are really nice, slow soaking rains, it appears to me as well. Is that right?
Yeah. And the pattern is going to be where they're not going to be moving terribly quickly. The pattern is going to be slow moving, especially as we get into next week. So these should be good wetting rains, the type that is exactly the type that you want to see this time of year.
But you don't want them to stick around for very long.
Not too long. That's right.
Will they move out?
Well, they will move out, although it may not be until the middle of the month before we see a warmer, drier pattern set up shop. Now, right now, I don't see a cold, wet pattern setting up semi-permanently. But we do see these better chances for rain coming. And actually, temperatures over the next week to 10 days are actually going to be fairly mild. There's no big cold intrusions expected to come into the Corn Belt or Midwest in the next 10 days.
I think for our area, I saw a couple of 80-degree temperatures later this week yet.
Yeah, that's right. So it's going to be warm and occasionally wet, so not a bad combination.
Take me across other parts of the growing regions of our world, winter wheat and spring wheat both, please.
Well, first of all, let's take a look for Europe. They're looking to be fairly moist, good growing conditions, good chances for precipitation in the winter wheat areas of the Ukraine, Russia, both Eastern and Western Europe are going to fare well. And if we go into Asia, China, they've got a pretty busy weather pattern. They're looking fairly moist as well.
And then come back to the United States, spring wheat growing regions of the upper Midwest.
Those look good. I would say that the precipitation chances are excellent. Near or above normal precipitation amounts in those areas are likely. Some of the winter wheat country of Kansas, Colorado, Texas, Oklahoma areas, they are in line next week. Right now, as it looks now, to have some beneficial rains.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us, and we do appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's Don Day with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, and wraps up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can always find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.